Okay, okay. Hey guys, I found some interesting stuff, and I put in a lot of hours today, fun hours, and I was looking at all of Isaiah and Jeremiah. I didn't get into Ezekiel or Daniel, but really interesting stuff. I'm not going to talk about it, but boy, it's interesting stuff. If I get an opportunity, I will. But right now, I just want to move on. As I was looking at Galatians and some of the things we could have covered when we first started Galatians, I mentioned that Galatians was somewhat related to some of the things that Romans said, but also Galatians and 2 Corinthians have a lot in common based on what Paul says in it. And as we move through it, if I get to it, then I'll share some of that, but I don't want to jump too far ahead. A question I want to ask you, Jane, this is an aside, you and Jeff.
Jane?
Jeff, were you able to get us on Zoom in Ireland?
I tried, but Jane had other plans.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
She said, let's go drink some Guinness.
That's right.
No, they were really working on trying to get the baby's sleep schedule and the sound travel. So we just decided it wasn't the right time in our lives to...
Gotcha.
To do that, so we didn't.
Well, I sent you the email with the audio and video, so hopefully you
can
catch up.
Well, thank you. It will take us a while. We didn't have internet when we got it back, but we did get it back today, so okay. I don't know if it was whatever, but
we survived, and here we are.
Yeah. We're glad to be here.
Well, I'm going to open it up again. If you have questions or things you want to add, before everybody got on, Steve was telling me a little bit about 2 Thessalonians, which was pretty good. But we're going to move on. In chapter 4, we're going to be starting chapter 4. Is that correct?
Yes. Chapter 4 it is.
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you.
Hey, I think Bill just wanted to see if he really had international capability. That's why I was hoping you'd get on.
Yeah, make it international.
Yeah, that's how I knew it was chapter 4.
Yeah. Well, in chapter 4, Paul is going to further explain our sonship, our kinship in Christ. It has also been stated. That's my dog. It has also been stated as the doctrine of liberty. Some writers will deem Galatians as the doctrine of liberty, and we'll see that a little bit as we move on. And we'll see it later on when we move to the later chapters of Galatians. But I wanted to put that in. The other thing I noticed as I was doing some research, but some additional work, Patrick Henry, you know who he was, right?
Yeah. Give me liberty.
He said, give me what?
Liberty or
give me death.
Right. And I kind of tied it in to the believers are into a new era of freedom. And like what Paul was giving the Galatians, freedom from the law or legalism. So I thought I would throw Patrick Henry in there for a moment. for you history buffs. Now, one thing to keep in mind, and I'm reading from some of my notes here. One thing to keep in mind is that the epistle to the Galatians is similar to, and I've already mentioned this for Steve, 2 Corinthians and Romans. Not only do they have the same tone and text, but Galatians 6 and 7 and 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. I'm going to read those two.
Come over here.
I'm going to read those two, and when we get to it, you want me to put that on the share screen? I don't have to. You got it.
What did you say? Second Corinthians?
Second Corinthians 9:6. But I just want to read it before we get into the full scope of Galatians. Now, Galatians 6:7, this is into it. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We kind of understand that. We know that scripture. But 2 Corinthians says something similar to that. And this is 2 Corinthians 9:6. And it says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully.
Give it to me.
What was the question? Okay. What you see here is what was said in Galatians 6:7. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, and then you go there, then you go to 2 Corinthians. He says, but this I say, Paul talking, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. It's like God knows what we do and what our charge is. So that's part of it. Now, that was connections with Galatians and Corinthians. I would ask you also on your own to read a few verses up, as Colin always says. He reads up a few verses and down a few verses to get the gist of what's going on and what's being said. Now, let's see a connection here between Galatians and Romans. And there are many, many scriptures. I didn't want to write them all down. I'm just giving you a few of them. And here's one. Galatians 2, going back to Galatians 2 and 16, and what it says. He says here, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And that's Paul talking to the Galatians. Now, let's take a look at how Romans address this. Romans says in Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, Romans really gets into a lot more than what Paul talks about in Galatians. And Galatians, I'm going to step aside for a moment. Next time we start, hi, Grant. Good to see you.
Grant.
Yeah.
Hi, hey, Grant. Right,
there's Grant.
Woo.
He's on mute, too. What I'm going to do next is I'm going to give a little background, a little more. I'm going to give more background on the particular books, because I'm getting a lot out of it and I'm not sharing it with anybody. So I'll try to do that on the next book we cover. Chapter 4, verse 1. Oh, let me stop here. We didn't go over our ritual. We got to read the whole chapter 4 first. There are 31 verses. We got enough people here who can read maybe 5 verses apiece.
Yeah.
All right.
Can I go first?
Yes, please, Jeff.
Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law.
To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
How it mentions specifically the fulfillment of time. I had to go back and understand what does the fulfillment of time mean?
Go ahead.
Where did you leave off at?
The fulfillment of time. It's referenced in Galatians 2 and 3 several times.
Yes.
Yes.
I had to
go
back and understand what that meant.
We'll cover that. Thanks for that, Vince. We'll cover that after we get through this whole chapter. What did you leave off at, Jane?
I did. Wherefore thou art, Galatians 4:7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Verse 8, howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did serve, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that, ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. Yet ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmities of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptations, which was my flesh, ye despise not, nor reject, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Verse 15.
Got it. Where is then the blessedness he spake of? For I bear record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, Christ formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and change my voice, for stand in doubt of you. Next.
Next.
Tell me ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, only one a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who has been a bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he as a free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For those are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which generateth to bondage, which is Agor. For the Agor is Mount Sinai and Abram, and answereth to Jerusalem, which is now as no bondage with children. Verse 26.
Jerusalem, which is above free, which is the mother of all of us. For it is written, rejoice, thou brother, thou barren, that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it was now.
30 and 31.
Nevertheless. Go ahead.
But what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave and her son, for the son of the slave shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brethren, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for reading. I appreciate that. First, let's go back to the question that Vince raised earlier. And we can add other comments in four before we go and do an exposition of the whole chapter. Vince asked the question in verse four, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law. And what was your question, Vince?
I didn't understand fullness of time. I had to go back and research. What does that mean?
Okay. Any comments on that?
Well, the only thing I found is fullness of time is when certain things happen that the church could expand. One of the things was at that time, a couple of things happened. Greek was spoken worldwide. It was an international language. That enabled more people to read the gospel. And number two, the Romans, because they took over most of the western part of that Europe, they brought an end to wars because they were so difficult. They just put an end to them by squelching them. That was something that had to happen. And the third thing I read outside of that was that the Romans built the roads. It was 5,000 miles of roads built by the Romans by hand. And they actually lit those roads with gas lanterns all the way. So they were waiting for transportation, waiting for language, they could carry the Bible forward and waiting for methods to deliver the word.
Amen. Amen. Any others on that? Comments on what Vince read?
Well, I just thought the fullness of time was meaning the dispensation of the fullness of times. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That's what I thought the definition of fullness of time meant. But I like what Vince added.
Okay.
I know that it's used more than once.
Right.
Several it's times. Used for the fullness of time of the Gentiles. You know, it's right. Used more than once. Yeah. And I think it's purposeful. If you just consider those words, the fullness of time, that's pretty heavy. That means something has been completed.
Yeah.
Right.
I think all of those things are correct, especially the fact, the things that Vince was talking about, Romans. It was a time called Pax Romana, which means peace of Rome. There were no wars going on at that time. But the other thing, the fullness of time, another thing it refers to is that the Jews had been fully prepared to receive their Messiah. All the prophets had given them everything they needed to know to receive him. And when Jesus stood in the temple in Luke 4, we read that he stood up and opened up the book of Isaiah. And he said he was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind, to
set the captives free.
Yeah, and he said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and that was the fullness of time began with his birth, and it lasted through his ministry. And I think it points to God's sovereignty that everything happens in God's time.
Right.
Perfect timing. So everything that's been said is right. I mean, it's all those things combined and probably even more.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting? Violet, were you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
Isn't it interesting that Paul and other writers in the Bible, and thank you for your comments, everyone. Isn't it interesting that some of the writers in the Bible will come up and say things like the fullness of time was come. That puts everything on a timetable because Jesus says that when the time of the Gentiles will come to an end, there is a time when that will happen.
Correct.
There was a time when the Jews or Hebrews went in captivity because God said there was no more recourse for them.
Right.
And that's quite a statement to make. There was no recourse. The priests, the Levites, the people, all of them rebelled against what Jesus wanted to say. And he said, okay, I can't exonerate you. That's it. But
Matthew 10, isn't that what you're talking about? When he turned from the Jews to the Gentiles,
yes.
They'd be buried for a while.
Yes. Do you have that verse?
No, I just had it in my head, but I can go get it.
well, go ahead. Well, go ahead and say it is written.
Okay, it is written. That'll get me out of a lot of trouble, Bill.
I'll just keep that one out of a lot of trouble. But wasn't that also something that Jesus said more than once? It is not yet my time.
Right,
referring to his becoming our Savior.
From the temptation on, he said, it is not my time, and told Mary and the disciples, and he used that frequently.
A lot of times, Jesus made those statements in the epistles, and if you would take note of it, in John chapter 13, when Judas went on out to betray him, at that time, Jesus says something that was very opposite to what he had been saying. He said, now shall the Son be glorified. Now was his time. When his mother asked him to fill the wine jars, he said, look, woman, what are you asking me to do? It's not my time. And then when his brothers asked him, why don't you go to Jerusalem? He said, no, you go. You go to the feast. So yes, there was a lot of times in scripture that he said, it's not my time. But after that happened, when Judas went out, he said, now shall the Son of Man be glorified. He had finished all his preaching of the kingdom because the kingdom was rejected by the people. Remember when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathered her hens.
And he wept. Chicks.
Go ahead.
Didn't he weep for Jerusalem as well?
Yes. Yes. And that was him acknowledging that they didn't recognize the time. That was the key point. They didn't recognize the time. They didn't recognize the time that they were in. So any other comments on chapter 4?
I think Jesus was always consciously aware of time.
Yes.
Always consciously aware of time, and that he had so much time to do what he had to do.
Yes.
And we, today, that's how we live in times.
I'm
a lot of times.
Yeah, I'm going to go over it, this whole chapter, but I want to ask a few questions, if you don't mind. When somebody read for me chapter 4, verse 6, and tell me what you get out of that. Rick, are you there?
Hey, let's see here. Chapter 4, verse 6.
Yes.
Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father.
Okay. What do you guys get from that?
Sounds like Romans chapter 8.
I guess the Christ was reaffirming that the Spirit was his Son. So he further defined deity. There's the Spirit, but the Spirit is really his Son. And he handed his Son over to be crucified.
Any other comments? Thanks, Vince.
I think the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts shows that we are accepted by God, that we belong to God. We are his sons, adopted into his family. It's a surety that's given to us like an earnest money on a down payment on the wedding to come. It's so many things, but it is our security and our assurance.
Yes.
It's of the Holy Spirit.
He kind of restates this in Romans chapter 8. Verses 16 and 17.
I think the way he defined Spirit specifically as his Son kind of brought another closer to it.
Yeah. Steve, since we don't have Romans 8, would you read what you're quoting?
Sure.
It says, "You are sons. God's Spirit of his Son."
Uh-huh.
Which is four, looks like 4:9.
Yep. You guys are way over my head. I saw something real basic in this verse, and what you've talked about is exactly right. I just saw, when I was reading it, well, somebody read it, and thanks, Rick, for reading that. He said, "And because ye are sons," okay, he's already established that fact previously. And he said, God the Father, has sent forth the Spirit of who?
Of his Son.
Into your hearts.
And hearts crying out, "Abba, Father."
And crying, "Abba, Father." Well, it almost makes sense to me, because all through John's gospel, Jesus kept saying, "I come to do the will of my Father, and I do what I see my Father do." And so God the Father is now going to send the Spirit that has been working with Jesus, he's been working with Jesus doing his whole time, into our hearts, which gives the ability now to be really accepted as sons and daughters of God. So that we now, on our own accord, we can cry out and say, "Father." Go ahead, Vince.
And defining further errors, or the errors of the Spirit and the grace.
Okay, you guys get that?
So yeah, going into verse 7. That's what he's looking at, is going into verse 7. So we're the heirs of Christ. We're the sons of Christ.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons I just wanted to go over it a little bit. Because what we're going to see now is something I've said it previously, and I said this before. Paul builds on the Scripture. And what Paul talks about in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Romans, and somewhat in Colossians, and especially, what's the E one? Ephesus?
Ephesians.
You'll find that he adds a little bit more to what he's talking about. So what he's talking about to us in Galatians, it's basic stuff that you got to put in mind and keep. And why do I say that? Because as we as we go through Galatians chapter 4, you'll see some things that he's going to drive home. And he's going to show how much they love him in their own way. Mm-hmm. So let's look at verse 1.
Let me just say one thing about the verse we were just reading with, you're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, anyway, I think it talks about the whole in order to belong to Christ, we all have to be reborn and son. And by using the word Abba instead of father, that I think it's become Americanized as daddy. It's a growing relationship, the son and the heir. But first we have to be reborn to be sons and heirs. So anyway, that was just my thought on that.
Does anybody know what Abba means?
Means father, Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
Father, dead.
But it's an affectionate, in the Aramaic language, it's an affectionate term.
Yes.
Endearment.
We turn it into daddy, which it really doesn't mean daddy. That's an American. Right. They had no words such as that.
Yes.
But when he says Abba, father, he's using the Aramaic and the Greek word for father.
Yes. That's very good that you guys.
You know what else also is interesting with verse 6 is that God is sending forth the Holy Spirit at just the right exact time. As those individuals accept Christ, become part of the family, so to speak, that's when God's sending forth the Holy Spirit, exactly the right time. And yes. He's allowing these individuals to have a intimacy with God when that happens, because now they have the Holy Spirit and now they have an intimacy with God.
Exactly. And Rick, thank you for bringing up verse 6, because now we can go in retrospect back to verse 1.
I would like to add that God did send forth his Spirit, but we have to accept it. The right. Spirit is offered to everyone, but only his children and sons accept.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
And through that, we have to be reborn. Become a new.
Yeah. If you're crying out to God, I think that's one of the signs of being saved.
Right.
If you're not saved, you're probably not doing that.
Okay. Okay.
And I think verse 6, Bill, I think when it says the Spirit in our hearts crying, Abba, Father, in Romans, it tells us that he'll make intercession for us when we don't know what to pray. He's also an intercessor on our behalf because he's in us. Mm-hmm. He's the power of Christ in us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You Bible students are not very knowledgeable in the word. So, yeah, I know you are. You really are. Let's look at how this progresses. Okay, let's look at how this progresses first. Let's go to verse 1. Let's go to verse 1. We've read it already. Verse 1 says, and Paul is now trying to reiterate something. He's trying to make something plain to us. He says, now I say. Well, why would Paul say now I say? Basically because of what he said in chapter 3. But we're not going to go back to chapter 3. He said, now I say, he's going to add to what he's talked about, that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Paul is going to build what Rick talked about in verse 6, but we're going to travel to verse 6. Verse 1 and 2, contains some very important data here. Verse 1, we just read about the child differs no more than a servant. Verse 2 says, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. I take this as something different from what I used to think about. When I looked at what Paul was talking about in chapter 3, remember what was the big thing in chapter 3? Schoolmaster, remember that? We were under schoolmasters. Well, he's saying here, we were children and servants, but is under tutors. Tutors at that time was talking about the law. The law was your pedagogy. That was your leader or our governors. But they were there until a certain time. They were not going to be your tutors and governors throughout your whole walk in Christ. because there was going to come a time when it was appointed to the Father. And what was that appointed time that was supposed to change this? Something was supposed to change to get you from the tutors and the governors to something else. Though that something else was faith in Christ. And as we move on, let's look at what some of the references that we have to support this. Colossians 2 and 8. And if any of you speed people can get to these scriptures before me, please do.
Okay. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
Paul is picking up on something that I'll talk about a little later. It'll be presumptuous for me to talk about it right now. But look at what he said. Beware lest any man spoil you. So if he's saying that lest any man should spoil you, he's saying to us, we're no longer children or under tutors and governors, okay? We have an appointed time now. We're into something else. So if it means that we're at that stage, so that means we're also accountable. So let's look at what Colossians chapter 2 again. Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 to 22.
I got it. And having made peace, oh wait, I'm in Colossians 1, sorry.
Wherefore?
2:20, I got it. Colossians 2:20, you said, right?
And 22, to 22, okay. Yes.
Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men.
Amen. Amen. Colossians builds upon what Paul mentioned earlier in chapter 2.
And here's something with Paul, if I can mention it real quick. If you leave out some of his interjections, it's easier to understand. Because if you read this verse without the parentheses, wherefore ye be dead with Christ, rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances after the commandments and doctrines of men? But Paul was a little bit ADHD, throw things in there right in the middle, and it throws you off when you're reading.
But my voice may go out on me. But that's something for you all to remember, okay? Yeah. When you start to read scripture and you see a parenthesis, you can read it, but skip on ahead when the parentheses stop. Yeah. And that'll really tell you what's going on. But that touch not, taste not, handle not. Paul's just throwing stuff out. You know, he's saying what those people will say to you.
And that's a short one. Some of his parentheticals are really long.
Yes. Now, verses 4 and 5 is going to tell us something different. I want you to notice Paul switches his emphasis on certain things in certain verses. And if we look at it, we'll see how he shifts it. He's going to shift in verses 4 and 5 to tell us that we're redeemed from all of these things. Mm-hmm. So if somebody can read, 4 and 5 for me, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Grant, you got it?
Of course. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Okay. But again, look at that, what it said here. And we jumped on when we went to verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come.
Both of them.
Now, think about that for just a moment, if you will. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, which is saying, in essence, that you're ready. Mm-hmm. It is saying, in essence, that you're ready. It said, and why do I say that? Because verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. When we looked at verse one, it talked about us as being a child and a servant. But here in verse 5, it says something different. Yes. And then this is what Rick talked about now. Well, he brought it up. Now, when you read it, you'll see that the Holy Spirit confirms our sonship in verses 6 and 7. Somebody do 6 and 7 for me, please.
Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of a Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
All right. All right. You see how he progressed from us being a child and a servant to the point that now he's telling the Galatians, as he talked to them all the way through verse 1, all the way to 3, he said, you guys, you're no longer a servant, but a son. And if you're a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ. That has such significance for us as believers and what we have in our own possession, because we just read that God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to us through his Son.
That is good, Bill. That is good stuff. Very good.
Remember what 1 John 4, 5, and 6 says? It says, and this is the record. He who has the Son has, I'm mixing it up. And this is the record. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. And this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. So,
could you give us that quote again? I thought you said 1 John 4, 6. What'd you say?
1 John, that's memory talking now. That's 1 John 4, 5, and 6. Okay. Now, excuse me. Ephesians is now going to bring this home for us, okay? Ephesians is going to bring this home. When we look at Ephesians chapter one, verses 5 and 6. If somebody can read that, please.
I've got it. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. See what he's saying here? See what he's saying this to the Ephesians that he did not say to the Galatians, but he's talking to the Galatians because remember earlier on in Paul was addressing the Galatians. What did he initially call them that stands out in your mind? Oh, foolish Galatians.
Who has bewitched you?
So he's not going to give them real meaty stuff right now because they're being listened to, influenced by the Judaizers. Those people want them to be circumcised. Those want them to go to the ordinances. So he's saying here, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself.
Right.
To himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. No doubt about it, Galatians, I'm trying to tell you that you are accepted based on what you have confessed with your mouth. That Jesus Christ died, buried, and he rose again. That is taking you from legalism of the law into what Jesus has brought through faith. because through faith are ye saved. For by grace are ye saved. You guys know the rest of it.
Yeah, not by words. But also, wasn't Paul with the Galatians when he was ill and it was then that he preached the gospel and they accepted it. And then over time with the Judaizers, they allowed their minds to be confused or contaminated and were returning to the law. And so Paul's very angry with them in this part of Galatians and trying to set them straight that you're undoing what the gospel is saying by returning to your to the legalism.
Absolutely. And Galatians wasn't the only gospel that Paul was admonishing people.
No, but he did let them have it here. Yeah.
Well, what you're talking about also is what's going to be covered in the second half of this. But I want us to just slowly understand how Paul is walking these people through, these Galatians through, that he's walking through an understanding of what they have. And you don't have to turn to these beggarly elements that you had before. You have something greater. Greater, the scripture tells us, as greater is he that is in you.
That it's more.
He was in us, yeah.
That, yeah. And that's not something that he's just, it's not a cliche. That's the truth. So when you look at, well, Paul goes on to say, now you can see, I made a statement after Ephesians verse 6. It came to me to say that, now can you see why we are one body in Christ? We are one body. It's so many things that we could talk about, but we want to keep training and tracking rather on what Paul is trying to convey. This is his first missionary journey. And he's running up against all of these kinds of things here. And remember that Galatia was a territory. And there were several churches there. And not that he was just giving this to one church, he was giving this to the territory, this letter. And so verse 8, listen how Paul now is going to address them as if they've gotten some type of learning. He says in verse 8, How be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which were by nature are no gods. You see what he said there? How be it? So when we look at 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9, I know 1 Thessalonians 1 9.
Ready whenever you are.
Just read it, please. Somebody got it.
For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God.
What is that? What is John? What is Paul now telling them or giving them a little kudos about themselves? When we read that, he said in Thessalonians, he said, for they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had into you. These folks were dealing with idols and stuff, but they ditched those idols and went to God, the Father. So now read, if you read that, Greg, read now 4 and 9. Galatians 4 and 9.
All right, Galatians 4 and 9.
Yes, please.
Now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?
Now, can somebody go to Galatians 3, 1 to 3, and remember what Grant just read? Go to...
Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you. that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are now ye now made perfect by the flesh.
Wow. That's what he said in earlier in chapter 3. Right. So in 4, what Greg read was something else, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What is he telling them in verse 9? But now, after that ye have known God, then go back to 3. Who has bewitched you? So evidently there was something that they were taught. Something is taught, but something now is making them sway and go from what you have got. So Paul says, okay, this I want to learn just one thing from you, okay, you Galatians, just one thing. This only would I learn from you. Receive ye the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. He's putting that to them. And he said, are you, and then he said, In 3:1, he said, are you so foolish? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? And he's saying, he's giving a jab at the Judaizers, saying circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
The circumcision. verse 10. Oh, it's some good stuff that you had mentioned earlier, Jane, but we're not going to have time to get into it. And some of the things that you all have mentioned already is really in verses 10 on. And so we're beyond time right now. I like to cover it just so we'll have it. And I will, okay? I'm going to take an extra 5 minutes, okay?
Yeah, go.
Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Look at what he's saying here. And this has reference to us today, okay? Somebody read verse 10.
Ye observe days and months and times and years.
Somebody go to Colossians chapter 2. And it's a big read, 12 to 16. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 12 to 16.
I've got it.
Go ahead.
Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come.
That was the key verse there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shay. Would you read that key verse right there for what you just read from Colossians 2, 12 to 16. That key verse is 16. Would you read that again, please, Sherry?
He reminds them of everything they have. And then he says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or the Sabbath days. And then he says, they're shadows of things to come.
Absolutely.
And which is Christ.
Go ahead, please.
Well, they were shadows. They pointed to Christ, all of those things, the Jewish festivals. They pointed to his first coming and they point to his second coming.
Yeah.
And they don't serve us as far as growing in our relationship with Christ. We can do them and understand what the Jews did, but to practice them as a ritual or as a way of worship, you know, they've been fulfilled pretty well.
Let's do some connecting. Let's connect what Sherry read. And let's connect what we just read in 4 and 10. He said, ye observe days and months and times and years. And Sherry just read that piece for us. Then look at what Paul says in verse 11. Somebody got it?
Are you back in Galatians 4?
Yes. And 11.
Go ahead.
Somebody got it? 4 and 11? He said, go ahead.
I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain.
Yes, that's what he said. He said, I'm afraid of you. And this is just after he said, ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Here Paul will say a lot more when we get to verse 20. And I'm going to stop there, but I want us to read. Can someone just read verse 20?
I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you.
Okay. He kind of talks a little bit more about it in verse 20. We're going to stop here. I don't think my voice will allow me to continue, but we're going to go next month. We'll be in September. What's the date? We'll be there in September.
Labor Day, September 6th.
Okay. We're not going to meet?
I'm available.
Oh, I am.
Okay.
How do you feel, Bill?
Bill, don't you have family and don't you hoop it up and get out all the firecrackers and the bird feeders and all that?
Oh, no. Well, guys, we had a great, great Bible study tonight. I appreciate
We sure did.
I really appreciate your input, the comments that Vince made about the fullness of time, the comments that Rick brought up for us. I really appreciate it. I like to hear more from everybody. I know you got some comments or whatever, but I like to thank my other sister, Sandra, for being on board with us, and also. Yeah. Her husband, Bill, was there, and I appreciate it. I was kind of expecting my nephew on, but.
Is that Michael?
No, that's Gary.
Gary, okay.
That's my nephew.
But, okay, well, I'll get the duct tape out next class, so maybe somebody else can talk.
I'll have a tape of this and the audio and video of this, and I'll send it out. I appreciate seeing Grant and hearing
you. Yeah, me too.
Good to have you, Grant.
Yeah.
So glad to be with you guys. Look forward to being with you next Monday.
Right. We just miss you, Grant. That's all. You know.
We really do. We don't mean to bug you, but we do miss you.
And I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad to be a part of it. And I really do. I truly mean this for any thanks and prayers and thoughts. I am so glad to be here. I really, really do. I appreciate every single one of you.
Thank you.
We
love you.
Thank you, Grant.
And it's good to hear your voice, Cindy. It's really good
your voice today. It's good to hear your all voices, too.
Amen.
Grant, we know God's doing a mighty work in you, so we didn't give up on you.
Yes. And Grant, I'll tell you this right now. It was Jane who always asked, Have you talked to Grant?
I've been blessed beyond measure. It's been the hardest, best year of my life. It's been amazing.
Good. God is good. He's good.
Sometime you can tell us about what you've learned during these seasons, because those hard years are where I've drawn closest to the Lord.
Don't ever pray for humility.
No. Oh. That's bring tribulation.
It is awful.
And it's good to hear Colin and Renee last week.
Yep, great to hear you guys.
Yeah. We really miss, it's something when you don't see somebody, you really miss them, you know?
Yeah. It's good to see you too, Bill.
Nobody mentioned about my Bearcat shirt.
I see it. I was going to say your number
I noticed
one.
It.
What? When do you play Miami?
Saturday.
Yeah, this Saturday?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I'll share this with you. Most of the guys that were on my team, the MVC, won the conference. We meet every year at Vince Lugo's. Yeah. So it's about 20 of us and the wives that meet. And we just talk about things. A couple of guys got their Super Bowl rings there and stuff like that. So it's a good meeting.
Where is it? Where do you have it?
Vincenzo.
You want to join?
I'm not. I don't deserve to be there.
Where's Vincenzo? It's in near Princeton High School.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to close out in prayer. Will somebody close us out in prayer, please?
Wheezy, how's Jeff doing?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He's doing great.
Oh, wow.
He just celebrated 1 year of clean time, clean and sober time. And he is, he was born moderately to severely deaf in both ears. And he became completely deaf in 1 year after an accident. And he's finally a candidate, and he's getting a cochlear implant, help him so much because he's going to probably have pretty close to identical hearing in both ears,
that'll really help.
Oh, yeah. It'll help him so much.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I want to say also that my sister Sandra calls me to make sure she has the right connection to be on our Monday Zoom. I tell you, she's a trooper.
Well, we love having her with us.
Yes, we do.
We do.
I'm happy to be here. I'm thankful.
Now, can somebody close us out in prayer? If there are any other thoughts, can somebody close us out, please?
Well, it's up to Violet again.
Okay.
I love that.
Violet, close us out, please.
I was thinking of the one who's come through a year and he's doing much better. And sometimes if we don't have the gift of patience, we get out of sorts. So I want to thank God tonight for giving us patience, waiting on him, doing those things in the meantime as we wait on the Lord to grant our prayers to see us through something. But it's not always bad news. We should thank God in good times because he gives us good times. He gives us breathers from some of our issues. So I just want to thank God again for this evening, the things that he put in a book for us to read and grasp and get a better understanding of who he is, because that's what this is all about, who he is and all that he has for us. You know, I'm always amazed when I read the book and it's his book, it's his story, and he gives that to us so we can grow as we read, as we learn, as we study. And I appreciate Brother Bill being the one who's giving us a better understanding of who this God is and how much he loves us. Everything that he does is out of love for us. And he gives us time to get to know him, to act like he acts. That's what the Bible also says. We're supposed to do as he does. We're supposed to let this mind be in you. I think those are the words. So we can have his mind and do the things that he would have us to do. It's a glorious thing to know that we have this great God who loves us, who has plans for us individually. He has plans for us, and he wants us to follow through with the words that he put in a book. I just think it's pretty awesome of this God. Because if we don't get it out of the book, where do we get it? Where do we get this understanding of this great God? He overwhelms me with all his love and his understanding, how he gives us time.
He's out of time, but we're in time, and we have so much time to get to know him, to be saved, to know that he is the Son of the Mighty God. You know, if we get that and get saved and get this understanding, you know, we have no fear of anything because he'll take care of us. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. I believe that. I believe everything that's in the Bible, all those promises he's made, I want those promises. I want to be in the light of God. You know, we're supposed to be children of light. Hallelujah. I am so grateful to God that he waited on me. He gave me time to get an understanding of who he was and that he loved me. I'm one of those people that he died on the cross for, and I'm humbly appreciative of that. I ask God to bless each and every one of us, all the ones that are here, the ones in our families who may not be close to us in another city, in another country. You know, God is, he's everywhere. So wherever our children are, wherever our relatives are, he's there also. And God will take care of us. He'll take care of our families. I just want to thank God for being the kind of God that he is. He truly humbles me. I just want to do those things that is pleasing unto him so he can continue being so good to me, being so good to all of us. And I say these things in Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Bye,
Grant.
Love y'all. Appreciate you.
All right, now.
Bye, Grant. Bye. Thanks, Bill. It was beautiful. Thank you, brother.
Glad to meet you, Grant.
Hey, Grant.
Bye-bye. Welcome back, Weez.
Yeah.